Good morning. It's 8:08 a.m. on Wednesday, June the 12th, 2019. So, now I can talk about it. A couple weeks ago when I went in for my doctor's appointment, she found a lump on the side of my neck. And she took some blood work, and that came back normal. And she sent me in for a sonogram. That was iffy because it was really big. And they couldn't see anything inside it. And so she scheduled me for a biopsy on Monday. And the biopsy on Monday was I was terrifying. Well, I was terrifying leading up to it because I had several days. I had like a week to sweat it. And of course, my first reaction was, oh my God, I've got Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then the more research I did, I discovered that there's something worse. Hodgkin's has a very high survivability rate compared to the other non-Hodgkin's lymphomas. So I was sort of preparing myself for really bad news. And it was really difficult. The biopsy itself was not exactly what anybody thought it was going to be, I don't think. The first try was with fine needle, small needles with little scrapers on the end that suck up a few cells. And the cytologist couldn't get enough from the sample to make a determination of whether or not something might be there. Just weren't enough cells. So they went in again with, this is really what they call it, a core. It's a core needle, which is a kind of a large bore hollow needle that takes a cylinder of tissue. And the doctor couldn't get it through my neck through the skin. So he had to make a little incision. And then he couldn't get it into the lymph node because the node was so solid, it was so hard. He finally got it. But it was rather difficult for him, and even more difficult for me, because while he was pressing on the lymph node, it was cutting off my airway. So while he was working in there, I was having a little bit of trouble breathing. Because it's right on the side of my throat. And then, so I came home and I said yesterday, I had the lidocaine headache from hell all day yesterday. Not yesterday, Monday afternoon. I didn't do any walking. I got both sessions in yesterday. I came out and talked to you yesterday morning. Got on the treadmill in the evening. did my calculations. I've got to do like 18 days, 18 full days in order to get 100 miles by the end of the month. And today's the 12th. So, yeah, I don't get a lot of leeway for the rest of the month. If I'm going to make my goal of 100 miles, I got to do this every day. And I don't know that that's even possible, but we'll do what we can. And then we'll try again next month. Losing all day Monday was kind of a blow, but there's not much I can do about that. So, today was the day they were supposed to send me the results. Or I was supposed to learn the results. They were going to have the results back by today, but apparently they came in last night. And my doctor called and said, well, I didn't find anything. Well, they found a few lymph cells, but they didn't find anything problematic. So, okay, I guess. We still don't know why that lymph node is rock hard. There is a condition of lymph nodes calcifying, and that may be part of it. I've had a lot of sort of gum level infections that have been cleaned out and then come back and then cleaned out and come back. So it's possible that it might be a calcified lymph node, caused from dental issues on that side of my mouth, which is would not be terribly surprising. But the bottom line is I don't have lymphoma. Which I'm counting as a good thing. So, yeah, that's been sort of the subtext to everything that I've been talking about the last few days. And I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of, okay, there's a little wake-up call. I'm 66. Going to be 67. How do I feel about that? How do I feel about where I am? What I'm doing? What my life is about. And honestly, other than the fact that I'm not writing fast enough, I don't get enough of that yes feedback from my writing, because I'm not producing fast enough. And every attempt that I have made to improve production has been met with an ADHD brain that says cute. So I don't know. I have to think about this. I have to give it some ponderation. Get ready, sit with me. Monk post. But as I was sitting there pondering my fate for the last week. I was thinking a lot about this. It's like, okay. What do I want to do? What kind of priorities do I have that need to be addressed? One of the things I've done is that I've rethought my whole to-do list thing. Everything I want to accomplish. I was writing everything down in my bullet journal, and I was getting to the end of the day, and I wasn't accomplishing any of them because there were too many. I couldn't pick one. It was like, okay, what am I going to do? Okay, let me write for a bit because I have to check off writing every day. And I did check off writing yesterday. I've checked off writing every day for how many days. And I'm still reading McKee's story. We're supposed to be having a discussion about it, and I'm not exactly sure what we're supposed to discuss. I'm not sure how this discussion goes. Part of the difficulty I'm having with McKee is that he advocates absolutes. And it's a sort of absolutist thinking that started me writing to begin with. It's like, okay, you have to start with a battle. You have to start with something exciting. You have to hook them in. It's like, okay, make up your mind. You want something exciting? You want something to hook them in? Because while they're not exactly mutually exclusive, there are other ways to hook readers in, other than two Romulan warbirds decloaked off the starboard bow. Or, heroic figure stands on the pile of bodies of her enemies as she surveys the carnage wreaked before her. Okay, so is this a good guy or a bad guy? Is this the hero or the villain? What? And then so often the next chapter is 2 years before to kind of get you in the mood for what exactly happened in that chapter you just read. Or that character dies. I can't tell you the number of times I started a book and I get to the end of the first chapter and it's like, okay, this is pretty cool. And the point of view character dies. What? What are you doing? Why? I just got invested in this character. I kind of like this guy. Why are you killing him? Drives me crazy. So McKee is very much in this camp of, it has to be deep, it has to be real, it has to be visceral, it has to be extreme in order to give the audience the ride they're looking for. To which I go, there are other stories. So I'm picking up some interesting ideas. The idea of coincidence and conflict and antagonism, and you know, in order to get the most out of your character, in order to have the most growth, they have to have the most antagonism. And yeah, I can sort of see that. How much more antagonistic they have to be than, I don't know, you're going to spend on the rest of your life as a wage slave. That's pretty antagonistic. Or how much more relatable can it be than I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. That's pretty antagonistic. There isn't. The difficulty is that there isn't really a single point of antagonism. It's like there's the forces arrayed against anyone figuring out what they're going to do with their life is a stew. It's like chili. You can't really take out the beans. The sauce has sort of made all that moot. And the thing is, quite often we hear about these stories as coming of age stories, and it's about teens and young adults coming into their adulthood. And the problem with that is that there isn't into an adulthood. Every day, people suddenly have their adulthood turned upside down, stripped away. Autonomy eroded. Agency shackled. And they have to figure out what they're going to do about it. Every day. Now, it's not, you know, it's like, it's not something you get hit with every day, but it's something that you get hit with and then have to spend a few years or decades figuring out what to do about it. And see, that strikes me as a much more, as what I've been calling little stories. It strikes me as a much more approachable story. It's a much more intimate story. It's a much more relatable story. Because as much as people like to think that now I'm going to grow up, leave childhood behind. You never leave childhood behind if you're doing it right. The question is, what of childhood do you bring with you and cherish? Oh, I like that. I like that. I wonder if I can remember it till I get into the house. Ah, I don't know. I do know I forgot to put the milk order out last night, so now I have a gallon of milk sitting here in the cooler, which is good, because usually it would have been a gallon and a half or two. Thankfully, my milk guy knows I don't use that much milk. So anyway, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.